Exodus chapter 20. Look if you would at verse 4. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments." Now, this is our second of the Ten Commandments, and we're studying the Ten Commandments, and like we said last week, the first four commandments are what we call Godward commandments. In other words, those are the ones that have specifically to do with God. The last six commandments are what we call the manward commandments, which they have to do with how we treat other people. And remember, the Lord said when he was asked what are the two greatest commandments, he said, "Love the Lord thy God." And then he said, "Love others as yourself." And then he says, "Upon these two rest all the commandments." And that's what he was talking about. He was saying that if you love God like you're supposed to love God, then you would not break those first four. If you loved others like you're supposed to love others, then you would not break the last six. Anybody can make it very long without breaking any of those Ten Commandments? You know what that means? That means for somebody to say, "Well, I love God just like I'm supposed to." No, you don't. "I love other people just like I'm supposed to." No, you don't. Why? Because you still break those commandments. And so that's the reason why, you know, those commandments were given to us to be a schoolmaster, to teach us that we're sinners, that we've all come short of the glory of God, that none of us have arrived. And so that's something that we certainly see in the Ten Commandments. Now, when we look at this Ten Commandments here, we look at it, the first commandment was not to have any other gods before me, the Lord said. But this right here has more to do with images, false idols, making gods out of you know, things like totem poles, things like the golden calf that the children of Israel made. And you know, there are some people today, some Christians even, they have a picture of Jesus. How many of you have ever seen somebody that has a picture of Jesus on their wall? And I'm not going to get into, you know, what the Bible has to say specifically about that this morning, because I'm going to concentrate more on the graven images. But I will tell you that you do realize that that's not the way Jesus looked. Amen. And you know, and I will say this too. I'm always cautious. And in fact, when it comes to the devil, I am a conspiracy theorist. When it comes to the devil himself, I don't believe that there are anything such thing as coincidences. I don't think there's any such thing as accidents. I think that when something mimics the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm automatically suspicious of it. When I see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm automatically suspicious of those things. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're just one of those weird people." Maybe so, but I do know the devil's also awful deceptive. Amen? Now, I've often wondered, you know, sometimes we say, "Well, I wonder what the Antichrist is going to look like." Well, remember this, the Antichrist wants people to worship him. Be a pretty easy thing if he says, "I'm that guy on that wall," wouldn't it? I just wonder about things like that, okay? Maybe you just think I'm weird, but that's okay? But I will say that we don't know what Jesus looked like other than the way he is described in the Bible. Nobody on this earth knows what he looks like, but one day we will, and I'm looking forward to that day. And so this second commandment in its context, it has to do with likenesses, and it has to do with graven images. Now, when it talks about graven images, the word graven means an object of worship carved usually from wood or stone, an idol. That is what a graven image is. And so what the second commandment has to do with here when it talks about the graven image is the worshiping of idols. You know, like, for instance, a carved saint. You know, sometimes people have a carved saint sitting on their dash. We all know that a carved saint isn't going to save anybody. Amen? Or maybe a statue of Mary in somebody's yard. We know sometimes when you're door knocking, when you walk to the front door over, you know, where they have their landscaping, You'll see a lot of times you'll see like Mary standing there or things like that. You realize that that's not, just because they have a statue of Mary there, it doesn't mean that they're Christian, doesn't mean they're going to heaven or anything. Amen? In fact, the statue of Mary shouldn't be there if they're a Christian, according to Exodus chapter 20 here. And so that's something. You know, some people, you know, they wear things around their neck that's carved, and they act as if that's going to help them out some way. But that's not going to help anybody out. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can help anybody out. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And there are people today that, you know, they people today want to hang on to so many things. They want to get all these things because they're superstitious. People have always been superstitious. And, you know, that's the reason why if you think about some of the missionaries that have gone to India and they come back and they report on the things they see, you know what one of the things that all of them say? They say that the people in India, you can witness to them and they will tell you that they've received Jesus Christ. But then you go to their house and they've got all these idols on their wall and Jesus Christ is just one of many. You know, that's not, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so he is the one that's to be worshipped. None of these other idols are. You know, none of these things that we say, okay, this carving or whatever it's going to be, people almost act like it's, you know, how many of you, when I was a kid, I had a rabbit's foot. Now, some of you are looking at me like maybe I just showed my age a little bit. But I had a rabbit's foot because when I grew up, a lot of people said, you know, this rabbit foot will bring you good luck. So I held on to that rabbit's foot. May I tell you, that's nonsense. You know, that's kind of like they say, you know, drink coffee, put hair on your chest. Nonsense, okay? There's a lot of things that were said when I was young that's not true. But when I was young, I thought it was true, so I held on to this rabbit's foot. I mean, I tell you, a lot of people today will hang on to a carved piece of whatever as a rabbit's foot. In other words, this is going to help me get through this, or this is going to help me in life, when it's not going to help you. And that didn't do the rabbit any good either, amen. And so that's what people do. And that's what the children of Israel did. If you remember, the children of Israel had the golden calf made right after they were delivered from Egypt. And they worshiped that at the bottom of the mountain while Moses was on the mountain getting the commandments from God. Later, they worshiped the brazen serpent. Remember when everybody started getting bit, and then they were told if they just look at the serpent on the pole, then they would be healed. But the problem, and many of them did. I'm sure many of them didn't. But the ones that looked upon that serpent upon that pole, they were healed. But the problem is later on, if you continue to read, they took that brazen serpent that was on the pole and they started worshiping it. They started worshiping it. And that's when they said, it's nothing. It's Nehushtan. It's just a brazen serpent. And so they did that. In Babylon, remember when after they were taken in into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar had this big golden image that he was going to rise up. And when the music started playing, everybody had to get down and start worshiping that image. We know the three Hebrew children didn't do that. But I tell you this, I don't read where any of the other captives didn't do that. I mean, you read that passage there were three Hebrew children that didn't get on their knees, and Israel had went into captivity. You know what that means? That means all those people that came from Israel got on their knees before that golden image and worshiped that golden image except for three Hebrew children. That doesn't speak well. Amen? A lot of people did it. You say, well, how come the three Hebrew children didn't get down and worship on their knees? Because they understood what Exodus chapter 20 said. Exodus chapter 20 had already been written. They understood that it was against God's commandment to get on their knees before a graven image and worship it. So they said, you know what? God said don't do it, so we're not going to do it. That's a good way to approach the Ten Commandments. It's like God said, don't do it, don't do it. You'll also remember that during the tribulation, the false prophet will raise an image of the Antichrist. And people are supposed to get on their knees before that image as well. I imagine there are a lot of people that will. Man has always had the propensity to have a tangible God that they can see and touch. And it's still common today in many nations in the world. But to tell you the truth, you really need to look no further than America to find people worshiping statues and images. You know, we sometimes think that the people in India are, you know, those are the heathen in other countries and everything, but we don't do that here. Yes, we do. We worship other images here. Now, we don't. But there are a lot of people that claim that they're Christian that do. When you look across, when you look at the Ten Commandments, you'll see that this image was not to aid in worship. It was not to be anything that we worship. We are to count it as nothing. You know, but some people say, well, you know, I got this carved image. Some people like to wear a cross around their neck, okay? Now, what people sometimes will do, they'll say, well, what I do is whenever I pray, I'll hang on to this cross and I'll squeeze it and it aids in my worship. Folks, nothing is supposed to aid you in your worship. Think about this, ladies. Let's say you walk into a dark restaurant with a friend and you notice in the back booth your husband sitting with another woman. And you see him holding her hand, looking at her in a loving way, and you confront him about it, and he says, honey, it's not what you think. When I walked in here, I saw her, and she bore an amazing resemblance of you, at least in my eyes. The whole time that I've been with her, I was thinking of you, and she's just here aiding in my affection for you. Now, how do you think that would go over? Now, I want you to think about this. We're the espoused bride of Christ. Amen? And can you imagine people getting things and saying, well, this right here is going to aid in my worship of the Lord. Imagine how he feels about it. The Bible says he's a jealous God. Amen? Imagine how he feels about that. I mean, people worshiping idols, people having things to aid them in worship, those people that have those, you know, things, carved things on their dashboard or whatever it may be. Listen, when it comes to worshiping God, we are to worship him in spirit and truth. Nothing else. There's not supposed to be anything else involved. Anything else involved is adultery. Anything else involved is spiritual fornication. Why? We are his and his alone. Know ye not that ye belong to, that your body belongs to the Holy Spirit? I mean, we are his. We belong to him. How dare us go out and get something else to aid us in worship? What a thing to do there. And so, God doesn't buy that. Now, the second commandment is a commandment that's been removed from most Roman Catholics who have posted Ten Commandments within their buildings and churches. This is the one that they have removed. I've told you before, but I didn't even realize that that was so until my oldest boy, who's now 20, he'll be 25 this year. Oh my goodness. Anyway. When we were used to live here, I used to take him over. Back in those days, they had a swimming pool over at the College of Great Falls. And College of Great Falls is a Catholic school, okay? And we know that. Well, we took him over there so he could learn to swim. And as we were walking down the hall, he looked up and he goes, Daddy, there's something wrong with those Ten Commandments. Now, I was just totally oblivious to it. I was just walking around, wasn't noticing anything, but he noticed everything. And I was like, well, what's wrong with them? He goes, they're not right. I was like, what do you mean they're not right? He goes, I don't ever remember seeing two covets in the Ten Commandments. And so I stopped and I looked, and sure enough, here's basically what the Ten Commandments that we read on the wall said. This is the exact word, so remember, it didn't come from the King James, obviously, okay? It says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Honor your father and mother. Ye shall not kill. Ye shall not commit adultery. Ye shall not steal. Ye shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ye shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Ye shall not covet your neighbor's goods. That's our Ten Commandments. And when I looked up there, I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing two covets up there either. So I thought to myself, well, now if there's 10 and there's two covets, when there's only supposed to be one, that means there's one missing. And so I looked back and I noticed out of that list, the one that's missing is that you're not supposed to have a graven image before you. Now, I wonder why that they would take such a thing away. Because they have that statue of Mary and they get on their knees and they do this. You know what they did? Because of what they believed, they said, you know what? By what we believe, we can't do it as long as that's in the Bible. So what they did was the same thing any wicked church would do. They said, you know what? We'll just change the word of God. We'll just take it out of there and replace it with something else. That's the reason I'm such a stickler, folks, when it comes to people messing with that book. When people start to change words or start to doubt words or try to get you to doubt the word of God, when they try to change it, the devil's been doing that since Genesis chapter 3. He's been trying to change the word of God, saying, yea, hath God said, and adding to scriptures and taking away from scripture. And look what now you have. You got a bunch of people that thinks it's okay to get on their knees and worship Mary. May I tell you that those people that do that are trusting in Mary to save them? Those people are lost, folks. Now, I know that's not a popular message today. And I have no doubt that when this goes online, there are going to be people that are probably calling the church and say, how dare you say such a thing? But Jesus said he's the only way. And we're supposed to worship him. It's his name that's above all others. Not Mary's. But yet, people still do that. And so, I will say this. I was very happy that my son caught that. Because it tells me he's been reading his Bible. Amen. I would hope that everybody in here would catch that. Like I said, the one thing that we should all know the Ten Commandments. Amen. We should all know them. Now, you say, well, why is it that God would put this commandment here that we are not to have any graven images? Because he already told us in the first commandment that we're not to have any other gods before us. But why would he go to the next step and say, okay, you're not supposed to have any graven images? Well, one problem is man's concept of God is way too small. Would you agree with that this morning? I mean, the way we think about God is nowhere even close to the way God really is. We read our Bible, and you study your Bible, and you get to know God better in the scriptures, and you start to read in the Old Testament, you see how he was, you see how he is in the New Testament, and understand, by the way, that the same God that you read about in that Old Testament is the one you worship today. A lot of people don't like to think that way. A lot of people today, because of Christianity being somewhat watered down, they think, well, God is a God of love, and he is. God's a God of mercy, and he is. God's a God of grace, and he is. But for some reason today, a lot of Christians like to push aside those other attributes of God, like he is the perfect judge. Like when he says that the wages of sin is death, God doesn't lie. And when God says something, it is absolutely truth. Listen, folks, he's not going to let anybody into heaven that has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. He will not. Hey, think about this. You realize that in the Old Testament, those Old Testament saints couldn't make it to heaven. They couldn't make it to heaven until Jesus Christ died on that cross. Only after he resurrected did he lead captivity captive. Don't you understand that some of those people that could not make it to heaven, some of those people included Abraham? I mean, you're talking about, when you think about faith in the Bible, what's the first name you come up with? Abraham, David, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jacob, all those people. None of them can make it to heaven until Jesus Christ died on the cross. Why? It's only by Jesus Christ you can make it to heaven. And people today think that we're going to get in? Without Jesus Christ, nobody's getting in. Amen? And so we got to keep that in mind. But we have our concept of God is way too small. When we read about the way God is in the Old Testament, and when we read the way God is even over in Revelation chapter 20, when they're all standing before the great white throne of judgment, nobody likes to think of God in that sense, to where he says, depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting punishment. Nobody likes to think of God in that sense. We like to think of God as being, well, the God of love. And so our concept is messed up when it comes to God. We serve a limitless God, so how can we possibly make a statue of him if he's limitless? Now, when we look at him, sometimes when we think about God, what we think about is the way we want God to be. That's the way it is. Listen, everybody, every Christian I know of enjoys the grace of God. Amen? Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't enjoy the grace of God, there's something wrong with you. Because you would not be where you are or what you are if it were not for the grace of God. You would not be going to heaven if it were not for the grace and mercy of God. So I understand that we sometimes focus on that. But because of the things that we focus on, the things that mean most of us, sometimes we like to put God in a box to where he is the way we want him to be, rather than him being the God of this Bible. And so in other words, what we will do, if a person makes an idol today of a God, what they're going to do is they're going to make that idol resemble the way he wants God to be. Not only that, but the chances are when a person makes an idol, who is the one person we worship more than anybody else? Who is it? Us. Not that you're worshiping me, you're worshiping yourselves, okay? That's the one you worship more than anybody else. Let the truth be known. I mean, don't we do more for ourselves than anything else? People say, you know, oh man, I'm tired. There's church this morning. I think I'll just sleep in. Go to church tonight. Who'd you put number one right there? You put yourself number one. You see what I'm saying? Do you realize that our biggest enemy, really, I think there's the world, there's the flesh, there's the devil, but ourselves is the biggest enemy we have. And because we put ourselves number one all the time, if each one of us were to make an idol, who do you think that idol would represent and really resemble more than anybody else? Ourselves. Ourselves. That's the reason that Bible keeps on telling us that we think too highly of ourselves. Not to think too highly upon ourselves. Why? Because that's what we always do. And so if a person makes an image today, they say, well, I'm making this image of God. I think this way God is. No, not really, because you've never seen God. We're not supposed to worship an image of God. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. Nowhere in there are we supposed to make something that represents God so we can worship it. Why? Because the thing you made it's not God. It's not God. It's what you want God to be. It's probably a whole lot closer to being yourself than it is to God. And so that's the reason why God says that we're not to have any likeness of him. We're not to have any graven image of him, because the practice distorts God. Now, if God's spirit, and he is, how can we make or carve something or worship it and say that it's God? Turn if you would over to Isaiah. In fact, get Isaiah chapter 44 and also get Psalm 115. Isaiah 44 and Psalm 115. How could we possibly carve something and call it God if God is a spirit? In Isaiah chapter 44, look if you would at verse 8. It says, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed, who hath formed a God or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing." He's saying, you are wasting your time to make a graven image of me because you don't know what I look like. You've never seen me. No man has seen God and lived. But yet people are going to try to make an idol. It's an absurd thing. Now look at the Psalm 115. Look at verse 2. It says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." You know, I'll tell you something. I'm glad that the Lord speaks to me through his word. Amen? I'm glad that the Lord can hear me when I call upon him When I have something heavy on my heart, when I know that somebody else is sick or going through something, when I know that somebody needs encouragement, isn't it a blessing to know that when you pray, the Lord hears your prayers? I mean, think about that. That's a wonderful thing. And not only that, but to see the Lord answer those prayers. I'm glad of that. I think we all should be thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're not to that I'm in the hand of the Lord. Do you realize how important it is to be in God's hand? We're told in John chapter 10, verse 28, he goes, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Boy, isn't that a good thing? Those false idols don't have hands. Those false idols don't have ears to hear your prayers. Those false idols can't speak according to the Bible. Psalm 89:13 says, Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. I'm thankful for the power of God. An idolater has to carry his God around, but my God carries me around in his hand. And he carries my burdens for me. It's been written that because idols have mouths but can't speak, the idolater has no promises to claim. Because their idol may have eyes and cannot see, the idolater has no protection and is all alone. Because their idol has ears that cannot hear, the idolater cannot have his prayers answered. Because the idol has hands that cannot handle, the idolater has no power. Because their idol has feet that cannot walk, the idolater can't truly be in the presence of his God. See, that's the difference between the one and true living God and all the others. Now, as a side note, I will tell you this. When you look at, and this is just something that I want to get you to maybe to study, go home in your own time and study, but I'll just mention it. When you look at gods, little G-O-D-S in your Bible, generally, you know what that's talking about? Devils. Fallen angels. That's what generally what it's talking about. Now, when somebody makes idols, you know what that Bible calls that? False gods. Little G-O-D-S. So, being as how that is, who do you think's behind all the false idols? And why? It has to be the devil. Amen? Now, why would he do that? Well, you get over in Isaiah chapter 14, and he said, I want to be like the Most High. I want my throne above God's throne. That's what he's wanted the entire time. Don't you know when the tribulation starts and the Antichrist comes on the scene, that's the devil incarnate. You know what he's going to want people to do? Worship him. You say, who's behind it? The same thing that's behind everything that mimics God. Do you realize all those idols, you know what those people are trying to do? The devil's trying to mimic God so he could be worshipped rather than God being worshipped. That's the reason God tells you, have no other gods before me. That's the reason he says, make no graven image. Because he's saying it's vanity to do that, because I'm the only true and living God, and if you're worshiping anything else, you're worshiping the devil and his angels. You're not worshiping me. You're worshiping yourselves. You're not worshiping me. And so he says we're not to have any other idols before us. Now in Psalm 115, I think you're still there, but in Psalm 115, look if you would at verse 8. It says, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Again, when you make those false idols, the one that's probably going to resemble more than anybody else is yourself. False idols are not only made of wood and stone, they begin formed in our minds as well. So many people today will say things like, well, the God I serve would never send a person to hell. The God I serve is a God of love and considers all mankind his children. The God I serve is a sovereign God that chooses before the foundation of the world who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, and no one has a choice in the matter. The God I serve is not capable of keeping a believer saved after he's been given everlasting life. The believer must do his share to stay saved. The God I serve would never punish a child of his for living in open sin. You know what? When people say things like that, you know what they've done? They've made a God that fits their belief, rather than having their belief fit the God of that Bible. That's what they've done. And there are people today that have done that. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, the Jesus they worship isn't the same Jesus we worship? That's true in a lot of senses, because there are people today that say they worship the Lord Jesus Christ when the Jesus they serve is not the same one that's talked about in that Bible. What have they done? They've created an idol in their mind. Anytime that you make God into something that he's not in that Bible, you have created an idol in your mind. Listen, folks, again, I understand that God is a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace. I understand all that. But the God that you serve is the same God that said, go in there in the land of Canaan and wipe them out. That's the same God. But at the same time, the same God you serve is the one that says that the wages of sin is death, but if you will call upon my son Jesus Christ, I'll give you everlasting life as a gift. I'm telling you, folks, that's the God we serve. But I'm going to tell you, if in your mind, if you have anything, if you think about God in any way that he's not in that Bible, and there's a possibility that all of us are probably guilty of this to a point, then you have created an idol in your mind. And we ought not do that. When we look at God, we've got to look at every attribute that he has in that Bible. We've got to look at the things he likes and the things he doesn't like. Today, saying, well, you know, back in the Old Testament, God was against that. But I think the Lord, you know, the Lord's for that today. No, what you've done, you've created an idol in your mind. You've made a God that fits your lifestyle, that fits what you want to do, that fits this world. That's what a lot of Christians have done today. They say, well, the world thinks about this, so the Lord must think that way too. What Bible are you reading? Amen? We know good and well that the world and God, they're enmity between each other. They don't get along. They're like oil and water. Now turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 1. I'll show you what God thinks about this business of making idols. Now we certainly got a hint by Exodus chapter 20. But in Romans chapter 1, and on Sunday nights we've been studying the book of Romans, and we've been seeing really the first three chapters of Romans is pretty much where God makes it clear it doesn't matter who you are, what you think of yourself, how you try to hide your sins, what your pedigree is, it doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that is really the theme of the first three chapters. But in Romans chapter 1, primarily, Romans chapter 1 is talking to those people who openly or who are lost and who openly live in sin, who live in open sin, who are lost. And in Romans chapter 1, look if you would at verse 21, because he's going to tell you something here. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now right there, if you read the passage before that, it tells you that everybody knows that there's a God. Okay? But then it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You say, what we mean vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened? You know, like saying we came from monkeys. And that there's evolution. And there's the Big Bang Theory. And there is no God. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 23. Now look what it says. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible who? Man. And to birds. And to four-footed beasts, you know, like the calf, the golden calf. And creeping things. And then it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You know what he's doing the rest of the time? He talks about how the wrath of God is upon all unrighteousness. And right there, he calls out these people and he said, listen, what you're doing is you're trying to make God, who's incorruptible, God, who's perfect, you're trying to make him into corruptible beasts like yourself, like calves, like birds, those type of things. And the whole time he's saying, but the wrath of God cometh upon all unrighteousness. There's only one God. He said, listen, when you read the first commandment, and then all of a sudden you read the second commandment, he says, you're to have no other gods before me, and you're not to make a graven image either. You know what that means? He's saying, I am the one, if there's going to be any worshiping going on, I'm the one you're supposed to worship. I'm the one. You're not to worship any other gods. You're not to have any other gods before you. And you're not to make any graven images, because if you make graven images, you basically just broke the first commandment. Because the one that you're worshiping isn't me, he's saying. It's a false god. It's an idol. Now, turn back to Exodus chapter 20. You say, well, why? Why is God upset about this? Why does he not want that? Want people to have graven images. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 5. It says, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. And then he says this, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Jealousy in the Bible is not always bad, folks. Now, envy in the Bible is always wrong. But there's a good and a bad kind of jealousy. The word jealousy here has more to do with being zealous. God is zealous to protect his relationship with us, his children. He's zealous to protect his own glory as well. For example, one could be jealous of their spouse because they belong exclusively to each other. And I'm not talking about being suspicious. I'm not talking about that type of thing or lack of trust. I'm talking about the zeal that someone has to protect their spouse or to have the relationship with one another. That's what God's saying. God's saying, listen, I want to have a relationship with my children. I want to have a relationship with those people that are mine. And I want you to worship me and give me glory. I don't want you to take what belongs to me and give it to somebody else. How would you feel if somebody did that to you? Take some of you belong and give it to somebody else. Would you think that was a good thing? God says that worship belongs to me. That service belongs to me. And I don't want you giving it to somebody else. Especially a piece of wood. You think about that, folks. How bad that must be for somebody to take what belongs to the Creator, God, and give it to a carved piece of wood. Isn't that something? As believers, God owns us and he wants us to love him. Not only supremely, but exclusively, without any statues or images involved. Anything you fear more than God, anything that you trust more than God, anything that you love more than God is idolatry. And you say, well, yeah, I don't have an actual carved piece of wood. I don't have a Buddha sitting in front of my house. Well, maybe not, but again, you can have an idol in your mind. You can create a God in your mind that you think is the God that you're worshiping. That's the reason we need to stay in those scriptures all the time and read and read and read and read. Why? Because I'm telling you, folks, the devil will mess with your mind. The devil will get you thinking about yourself, and the devil pretty soon will have you thinking that God is somebody that he's not. When a person today comes up and says, I just don't believe God would send somebody to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ, I don't think he'd do it. The first thing I'm thinking is you're not reading your Bible. That's the first thing I think of, honestly. When somebody says, well, I just think we're all God's children on this earth, you're not reading your Bible. That Bible tells you that you must be born again to be a child of God. It's the only way. You got to receive Jesus Christ. That's right there in John chapter 1. And you say, well, where do they get this? Well, they've heard teaching. They haven't been reading their Bible. They've been tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine if they're saved. And what they've done, they have just started to develop a God in their mind that does not exist. And that's the God they're worshiping. I hope nobody here this morning is guilty of that. I hope nobody's guilty of that. Let's pray.